It is a beautiful day to be a child of God. It's a beautiful day, but it's a much more beautiful day to be a child of God today and to be able to thank Him for what He's done for us. It is good to be here this morning. I started my day not quite as cheerful, perhaps, and chipper as Brother Ken did. I got up early and started to study, and I had already had some thoughts on my mind, and it just didn't seem to want to come together. But still, I looked outside, and I saw a bunch of those squirrels running out in the yard. And we've got all kinds of them, and they were just chasing around. And that kind of lifted me up just a little bit to think of the beauty of nature. But I've got to tell you, I have enjoyed this service this morning. I enjoyed the Sunday school. Good discussion. Important discussion. Every song that we've sung has lifted my heart, and I feel a whole lot better than I did when I first got up this morning. And so I'm truly glad to be here for each one that's made their way out today. Looking forward to the revival service, I know that everyone hopefully is, and everyone will be much in prayer for it. Remember, our business meeting here, we'll take a short break after service, and then we'll get into our regular business meeting. I'm going to get right into my lesson this morning. My message is this morning is not a complicated one. As a matter of fact, it's probably it's a simple message. I hope I can keep it simple. Sometimes I tend to too often tell how the watch is made rather than what time it is. And so I really want to just tell you what time it is this morning, and not to get too involved. But we had our oldest grandson graduated. Of course, he's been homeschooled all of his life, had excellent grades. He's be starting into Ball State September. But we had a family dinner and graduation, and on the bottom of the card, or the first line on the card that we gave him for graduation, I said, "Welcome to the real world." And you know, we soon find out after graduation that there's a real world out there that can be very difficult and troublesome sometimes. And we hope, as parents, that we've prepared our children for it. That's what we undertake to do, and so there are various things that we try to teach them as they're growing up, and not just academically, but certainly morally and financially and all of those aspects of it. But those of you who have been to college, or maybe you're going to college, and you know, when you first go in on your freshman year, most of the classes that you take are labeled 101 because they're an introduction to a further study later on as you progress through college. And so that's the title of my message this morning, is Life 101. Life 101, some things that we hope that we learn early on, because if we learn them early on, it makes it a lot easier as we get into the more difficult things of life. In order for a background for this lesson, I'd like to go back to the beginning in Genesis, because the principles that are established there for life, 101, are laid down. In the book of Genesis, in the second chapter, I'd like to read about the first 17 verses I'd like to start at verse 4. And read through verse 17 of the second chapter of Genesis. It says, "These are the generations of the heavens and of the earth when they were created, in the day that the Lord God made the earth and the heavens. And every plant of the field before it was in the earth, and every herb of the field before it grew, for the Lord God had not caused it to rain upon the earth, and there was not a man to till the ground. But there went up a mist from the earth and watered the whole face of the ground. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. And the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed. And out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food, the tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And a river went out of Eden to the water of the garden, and from thence it was parted, and became into four heads. The name of the first is Pison. That is it which compasseth the whole land of Havilah, where there is gold. And the gold of that land is good. And there's bedlam and the onyx stone. And the name of the second river is Gihon. And the same as that compasseth the whole land of Ethiopia. And the name of the third river is Hiddekel. That is that which goeth toward the east of Assyria. And the fourth river is Euphrates. And the Lord God took the man, and he put him into the garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, Of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. That's a reading that I'm sure is familiar to all of us. There's nothing new about that, and nothing really complicated, but I think there's some things that we can learn from it. I guess as an introduction, I would say that one of the earliest lessons that we hope our children learn, and all the way through life, it will be reinforced, and that is that every privilege in life comes with an equally important responsibility. Every privilege in life comes with an equally important responsibility. And that's a foundational principle of life. Many, I fear, haven't learned that. Some have grown up with what we call a silver spoon in their mouth, and so they've gone through life carefree and doing whatever that they want to, and most of the time they'll get into trouble at some point along the way. But if our children can learn that basic principle, that privileges are great things that are given to us, but there are responsibilities that go with that. And most of the time we try to teach our children that they earn responsibility or privileges by showing that they are responsible. But I'd like you to realize that that's not the way God dealt with us. God has given us privileges and then that responsibility that goes along with it. I may talk a little bit about that a little bit more as we get along, but there's some simple things right here in this lesson that we learned, that we read, and one of those is what a great privilege it is that God has given us a body in which to interact with our environment. Now, you may think, well, that's just something that we are. Well, yeah, it is, but, you know, God has given us ears to hear those birds with, and even those vultures. He's given us ears to hear. He's given us eyes that we might see and behold that which we interact with. He's given us smell that we can smell the fragrance of the flowers and all of those things. Now, there are things that don't smell good. And so we have the good and the bad mixed together. I believe that's probably because of man's failure to fulfill his responsibility. But still we have bodies which we have been given that we might interact with the environment in which that he's put us. And Adam, of course, was related to his environment just as we are by the common creation that God has made. And so there's a kinship between us and the environment that we're in. And so the body that we have, what is one of the first things that we do as parents is we try to teach our children to take care of your body. You have a responsibility to keep it clean so that it doesn't get infection and sickness. Mothers try to raise their daughters and their sons to keep themselves clean, to take care of their body, to not destroy it and to hurt it. And you know, again, it's a privilege to have this health. I'm so thankful that I'll be 68 this week, and I am truly thankful that I have health and that I'm able to get outside and work. I'm able to do the things that I want to. I was telling, I think it was Brother Bo this week, that the industry that I come through the chemical industry, worked in a chemical plant, and it was well known that most men that got to the age of retirement, they never lived very long. because their bodies had been exposed to various chemicals and things that we were making, and there were not safeguards in place to keep us and protect us. I'm thankful that they have put many of those things in place, and I become a beneficiary of that, and that I was able to work in that environment, and by using the protections that were there, gas masks and rubber gloves and things that you might not think anything about, but they were important to protecting my body, so that when I retired and as I got older, that my body would still be healthy. And I probably have some of the effects, and it may eventually take me, I'm not sure. But I'm thankful for the years that I have already after retiring, that God has given me health. And there's a lesson that we want our young people to learn. That and because you're exposed to so much stuff out there, once you get out from underneath mom and dad's roof, particularly, there'll be all kinds of people out there trying to get you to put something in your body that's not good for your body. Whether it's marijuana or tobacco. I started smoking when I was 12 or 14, I don't know, sneak out and smoke a cigarette. And my parents always told me, that'll stunt your growth. Well, that's possibly because they didn't know what all it would do to you at that early age, but they knew it wasn't good for you. But I did it anyway, and I suffered for it. I suffered for it. I smoked for a number of years, and I was just a young man in my 30s, and I was getting winded to where that I couldn't hardly go up and down the steps at work, because I worked on a big building, a huge building, had three floors, and I was a supervisor, and I was up and down those three flights of stairs 100 times a night. And I was finding myself winded and running out of breath. And that was because I wasn't taking care of my body. I thank the Lord that I was taught by my parents about drugs and to stay away from those things. And I never did participate in smoking marijuana or many of the things that were out there. Unfortunately, there were things that I did that I shouldn't have done and that had a temporary effect on me. But our young people are exposed to alcohol, and alcohol can destroy your body and your life. All the drugs that are out there, I mean, there's it's going through the news right now about all the abuse of opioids and the epidemic that is sweeping through our youth and young people. And folks, that's just a basic beginning principle that you have this wonderful body, and you need to take care of it and to keep it clean. Don't put stuff inside of it that is going to have an adverse effect on it. It might make you feel good for a moment, but down the road it will have an adverse effect. And so that's a principle that we hope that they'll learn real quick. That is that it is a blessing to have this body that allows you to enjoy movement, allows you to enjoy your environment, to hear the birds, to be able to interact with your environment. And everything that you do that's contrary and hurts that body is going to have a negative effect on you. And each, every individual has a responsibility to take care of that body. Now, again, that's elementary, but it applies certainly to our growth as we go in Life 101. Now, the second thing that I'd point out, and of course, that's right here in this passage. The Lord God formed Adam out of the dust of the ground and gave him a body. And so that body was made out of the same elements that the rest of the environment was, the very dirt itself. And so that links us to that environment. But then it says he breathed into his nostrils and he became a living soul. And you know, it's the only one of God's creations, although he's already created the animals, he's already created the fishes, all of them have life, and they have a soul of sorts to where they can interact with their environment, and they're conscious of themselves and aware of themselves. But there's something special about the soul of man that's different than all the rest of the creation. And or there's two things, and I've pointed them out a number of times, but they bear repeating for our young people as they're growing up. And that is, first of all, that your soul is eternal. It's not going to pass away when your body passes away, because that soul came straight from God. It was His life. And his light is eternal and never passes away. God is the beginning and the ending of all things. He always has been. He always will be. And what he gave man was an eternal soul. And there's a responsibility that goes along with that soul, and I'll get to that in just a moment. And so I want you to understand that about the soul is that it is eternal. It's going to spend the rest of eternity somewhere. And God had intended for the man's soul to enjoy the benefits which God had for him, but when he gave him that soul, he also gave him another great privilege to go along with it, and that is free choice, free will. Now, you may not think that that's a much of a privilege, and you might think that, well, I don't really have free choice, but you do. You can choose what you want to do and who you want to serve and where you want to go and all of those things. And that's why that God put him in that garden and he gave him a choice of what to do. He gave him the house rules, if you will, just like our children have house rules, and many times we keep our thumbs on them and try to guide them and keep a pretty tight rein on them as they're growing up, but they learn what the house rules are, and they have free choice. They can either obey the house rules and enjoy the benefits that we give them, a place to live, a roof over their head, and food, and hopefully, prayerfully, a loving environment where they feel safe and secure. All of those are there. But yet they have a choice. They have free choice. That's what goes along with the soul that God has given us, and this great privilege that he's given us is free choice. Now, You may be able to take a human being and put them in a prison and lock their body up to where their body doesn't have the movement or the freedom that it used to have. You may be locked up inside of a crippled body due to an accident or birth or whatever. You may not have the full use of all of your senses. You might have one like Brother Jason that his eyes are not good. We just sang a song, "To God Be the Glory," by Fanny J. Crosby, who was blind and could not see, but yet she had free choice. And she chose to bring honor and glory to her Creator, even though that she didn't have the benefit of sight, but she had an inward spiritual sight that allowed her to see things that you and I may not see. And we can enjoy the benefit of those things that she saw by the words that she wrote down in the songs. And so you have free choice to choose whether or not that you will serve God or whether or not that you will go away from God. Now, I certainly don't want anybody to think that salvation is by works. We know that, and I don't. That's not the aim of my lesson this morning, but certainly we realize that there's a matter of choice. There's a matter of choice that each and every soul has. You had it this morning, and you chose to be here in the Lord's house, and I'm thankful for that. Your parents chose perhaps to forego some other things that you might have your children in church because it was important for them to be here. That's the good choice. That's the right choice. Unfortunately, there's a whole vast number of people out there that make wrong choices this morning, and they might have their children involved in something else rather than in something that can have an eternal benefit to them. And so that's an elementary lesson of life. You have choice, and what will you do with that choice? Will you do that which is right, or will you do that which is wrong? And so, again, we have this written and recorded for us at the very outset of the human race that we might understand that with privilege comes responsibility. It comes responsibility. At some point along the way, every child, as they grow up, has to make life-changing decisions. That's what I meant by the little comment I made to my grandson. Welcome to the real world. A lot of decisions have been made for him up to this point, but on Thursday of this week, he'll be 18 years old, and even legally, He can make all of his own choices. He can do whatever he wants. He can disregard all of the teaching. And so he's entering into that world of choice where the choice can make a huge difference in the quality of life that he has going forward. And so that's an elementary lesson that we hope that everyone learns about the natural environment that we're in. But more importantly, we hope that they will learn at an early age about their spiritual choices as well. We try to teach our children, it's already been mentioned this morning, that there will come a time, we don't know the age, but there will come a time when God will speak to your heart. Bella and Natalia and Macy, who's not here this morning, and Aubrey, and all of them, there'll come a time, if God tarries and allows you to mature, there'll come a time when he will speak to your heart, just like that he spoke to Adam and said, here are your choices before you, and you will know. You will know the voice of God. I don't know what it will sound like to you, but you will know it in your heart, and then you will have a choice. Will you go toward God, or will you try to be like Adam was after that he had sinned and disobeyed God and try to hide yourself from God? I constantly think about Sister Zoe as her grandmother would talk to her about her soul, and her grandfather talked to her about her soul, and she kept saying that she wasn't lost, she wasn't lost. And then after she got saved that night and I said something about it to her, she said, I was lying to you. She knew it. She knew it. So she was trying to hide herself. And she's not the only one. We all have done that many times, I'm sure. But again, it's a choice. There was nothing that Mom and Dad and Grandma and Grandpa or any of us could do for Zoe. Nobody could do anything for me, because it's your soul and it's your choice. Will you seek God until he saves you, or will you run from him for the rest of your life? And remember that the soul that you have is eternal. It will spend eternity somewhere. God's desire, God's whole purpose in creating man and giving us life was that it would be spent with him, but he would not force that on you. He would not make you a robot to where that you had no free choice, because he wanted you to be as much like him as is possible. And God is free, and his will is always carried out, and so he wants man to be that way and to choose to love him, not to be forced to love him, but to choose out of his own heart to love him. And so free choice is something that you have, and along with that privilege goes the great responsibility. And if you choose to go another direction, if you choose not to heed the call of God, we sang that song that about the Lord is my shepherd. We heard the call and we answered the call and came to God. When you hear the call, you can choose to go the other way. And if you do so, there will be no one. There will be no one to blame in the final end. When he says to you, depart from me, you workers of iniquity, I never knew you. There's no one that you can blame but yourself. Now, there may be some blame to go around to Mom and Dad and others who didn't fulfill their responsibilities in introducing you and bringing you to church. But for the final destination of your soul, there is no one that will bear the blame of that but you. God has done all he could do. He created you and I. He gave us life. He saw the need of a plan of salvation. He himself took upon him the form of man, came into the world, died on Calvary's cross to pay for our sins, made access to him immediate and available to whosoever will. He sent his Holy Spirit, who's still in the world today, reproving the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment to come. Sin, because that man has sinned and separated from God. Righteousness, because that it shows that we have are sinners, and yet God's righteousness has been demonstrated to us by his coming into the world and living under his own rules, under his own house rules, which we call the law. He came in and subjected himself to those same rules lived a perfect life here on earth, willingly laid down that human life that he might take it up again, and made a way of salvation that every human soul could have peace with him through that sacrifice of himself in this world. And if you choose not to avail yourself of that way of salvation, then it rests on you, not on God. God the Father has done all He can do. God the Son has done all He can do. And the Holy Spirit, as He deals with your heart and convicts your heart, is doing all He can do. And there's no one left but you. Are you doing all you can do to come toward Him rather than go away from Him? And that is the responsibility of the great privilege that He's given you, a free choice. I've got to move on. The other thing that is evident here is personal communication with your Creator. What a privilege to be able to talk to the one who created you. It's a privilege for children to be able to converse with their parents, to talk with them, to communicate with them. Well, how awful that it would be if children never got to see their parents, but all they got was a note every now and then from them and something to read. But that's not the way that we raise our children, and that's not what God expects from us. The Bible tells us over in the next chapter that God came down and walked in that garden with Adam and conversed with him, spoke with him, communicated with him. But the responsibility that went with that great privilege of communication was that Adam was not to do anything that would hinder his fellowship with his righteous Creator. It's just like our children. When we sit down at the table and we have open communication and joy and peace in our family, that's because that there's nothing between us. But you let that child lie or steal or break the house rules, and boy, it's a pretty uncomfortable table that you sit down at, and the communication is lost. And so with the privilege of being able to communicate with your Creator, to talk to Him, there is a responsibility that's upon us that we avoid and flee from those things that are unrighteous, that are sin, that separate us from Him. But praise God, He realizes our weakness, and He's made a way for us to be reconciled back to Him. First of all, from our lost condition to a saved condition, but even after we're saved, even after we're one of His children by a work of the Holy Spirit and a new birth, where sin still dwells in this body, and there are times that we're separated in fellowship. But He said, all you have to do is come to me and ask my forgiveness, and I will forgive you, and that we can reestablish that fellowship and that sweet communion that we have. And so it's a great privilege to be able to come and talk to our Father, to our Creator, our God, and communicate with Him. Last Sunday in Sunday school, I mentioned a theology called deism. Deism is very prevalent. Thomas Jefferson was a deist. Many of our forefathers were deists because that was something that was being taught at that time. But see, we don't believe it. We don't believe. Well, let me tell you what deism is first. Deism says, yes, there's a God. Yes, there is a Creator. Yes, He is the one that's responsible for all of our existence. But they deny that He has a personal interaction on a daily basis with His creation. Basically, He created it, and He stands back and lets it take its own course. But we believe, and we know from our own experience, that He is accessible to us, that He is involved in our daily life. He is involved on a personal basis with us. And that's why that we know that salvation is personal, and that it's an experience that we have with God, and we can communicate with God, and we can hear His still small voice as He guides us in our hearts. And so we reject deism. We reject deism because we believe and know that you can communicate with your Creator. And if you're not communicating with your Creator, the responsibility for that lies on you, not upon Him, because He stands ready. He stands ready to hear us. He stands ready to fellowship and communicate with us. And so it's a privilege to be able to have that personal communication. Don't ignore it. Don't not use it. But instead, do use it. Also, we find in this passage that I read that He provided for His creatures a beautiful home and a source of food. A beautiful home and a source of food. Man needs a home. He needs shelter. He needs a place in which he has the comforts and the things that are provided. We provide that for our children. But we expect them at some point, in order to mature, to be able to have a home of their own. To be able to manage that home. God provided the home for Adam and later for Eve as He brought her out of Adam's side. And that little family was there. He provided that home and a source of food. But I want you to notice particularly to the passage where in the 15th verse where it says, "And the Lord God took the man and He put him in the garden." Everything was there. All that he needed. He had a place that everything was provided for him. But He put him in the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. He expected him to work. He expected him to contribute to his own upkeeping. God had given it to him, and all it required the man to do was to tend to the garden and to keep it. I don't know what that word keep means. As I've studied it and some of the old writers, they seem to believe that it meant to keep it from intrusion from the rest of creation that might come and take their food source. They were to keep it up, and to maintain it. And so we try to teach our children that a home is something to be cherished. It's something that is a privilege to have. But in order to have that home, you have to keep it. You have to maintain it. You have to do the things that are necessary. We came out here this week and we had some upkeep on this church building. It's a necessary fact of life. It's a privilege. I counted it a privilege to be able to come out and tell Brother Bo. It's a privilege for me to be able to have the health, to have the energy, and to be able to come out here and work, because I could be laying at home, laid up, and not have the physical ability to do it. Or there are many things that it could be, and so I count it a privilege. It's a necessary thing for us to do. It's a necessary thing for us to work and to labor with our hands or however that God has given us. And so He's given us this life. He's given us this wonderful country in which that we live that has all kinds of opportunity. Opportunity. We saw, watched on TV this week, a special that had been on the History Channel over, I believe it was over Memorial Weekend, America, the Promised Land. America was the Promised Land. It still is the Promised Land because that we have so much here. But you know, when you, and I encourage you, if you get a chance to see that, to watch it. It's about how that our country was formed. How that not just under religious persecution, but for various reasons that people immigrated and came in here, and what they brought with them, and what the opportunities that lay there. But what you'll notice along is every one of them worked and labored and took advantage of the opportunity was there. They weren't on the government dole. They weren't getting a handout from the government. Somebody providing their food. I know a phone call came in a little bit ago. Brother Jeff was telling me somebody called and wanted us to get money. Wanted us to get them food. There's all kinds of government programs out there. What I would say is the same thing that the young lady that I saw a video this week, that she was a clerk in the subway. And she'd been robbed a week or so ago, and somebody else came in to rob her. And the robber said, "Give me your money." She said, "Go get a job." That took some courage to say that, but that's what it needs to happen. Our country is going down the tube because so many people want a handout. Amen. God didn't give Adam a handout. He gave him opportunity. And with that opportunity, He said, "Dress the vineyard. Work at it. And it will yield its fruit to you." And it was only after Adam and Eve had broken the house rules and they were sent out into the world to make their living by the sweat of their face that the ground no longer yielded to them, but because it was because of their own negligence and their own failed responsibility. But God always intended for men to work and utilize the opportunity that He gave them. And America is a great land of opportunity, and it ought not to be land of handouts. Maybe a hand up, but not a handout. And folks, if we don't change, I didn't mean to get off on this political part, but if America doesn't change, it's going to become like Rome was, bread and circuses. When the citizens of Rome didn't work for themselves, they even conscripted somebody else to fight for them. America is a blessed land that God has given us. And every breath that you take in this country, there's opportunity all around you. But even as our forefathers said, that this great freedom we have is maintained through vigilance. There are those out there that want to take it. They want it to become their land. They want it to become their religion. And we may have to stand up for it. And again, I didn't mean to get off on that, but I wanted you to understand the basic principle that when God created man, He expected man to work and to labor and to utilize the resources that God gave him that he might have sustenance for his body. And so we hopefully teach our children that when they grow up, that they're going to have to form their own family. They're going to have to work for their own food. And they're going to have to enjoy it. They'll enjoy that. If they will do that. Labor is not a curse. In those terms, labor is something God intended from the beginning for us to do. And so in the case of Adam and Eve, they were not freeloaders even before that they had transgressed God's house rules. They were not freeloaders. They still had to dress the vineyard. So take that lesson, and I know we try to instill that in our children. All you got to do is look at our society, and you can see that those who have been on the public assistance time and time again, that it repeats generation after generation after generation. Every now and then, someone will break out of that mold, and I say, thank God for them. And you know what? Once they break out of that mold, they realize that the only thing that's keeping others in that mold is their own lack of diligence to the opportunities that's in front of them, the opportunities that are there. They don't have to stay in those conditions. The government assistance was intended to help out in a difficult time, but not to be a continual handout. Because it just creates generation after generation of those who are freeloaders. And that was not God's intent of the human race. He created us, gave us all of these resources and opportunity, and said, now tend it and utilize it and bring forth that which I intended to come from. And I got to move on. I'm about done. I'm way past done. He gave them a mate for companionship. And he gave them children for a heritage. And so what a privilege that it is to have a mate. What a privilege that it is to have a marriage. And you have to work at it. You have to work at it. It won't, believe me, and those of you who have been married for very long know, there are rough patches. And sometimes you got to work at it. But it seems like that the younger generation, they enter into marriages with an escape route. Well, if it don't work, I'll just get a divorce and I'll go find another one. But you see, the problem is they haven't shouldered the responsibility that goes along with the marriage. Because when the man and woman were joined together, God's intent was that they should not be parted asunder. But they'd have to work at it to stay together from time to time because of all the outside influences. And so it's a privilege for God to give you a mate. And you're going to have to work at keeping that marriage together. But in the end, you'll be able to look back, and as you labored together, you found that you've drawn closer together, and that you've become more like one, which is what God intended. And the children that He's given you, all the responsibility that goes with those children, not just to feed them and clothe them, but to educate them about the things of the world, to warn them about the dangers that are out there, to be a parent, not just a friend. There are a lot of parents that they just want to be a buddy to their children, but you're not a buddy. You're a parent, and sometimes you got to say no. Sometimes you got to say, like what Brother Chris was saying about his kids, that if you want an electronic device, that's okay, but it's open to inspection anytime. There's no closed doors in our house. You have to be a parent. And that's part of the problem with our society now is there's too many buddies and not enough parents. Too many are abandoned their children. Too many broken homes. Too many single parent families where that the children are growing up without the equal influence of male and female. And it's important for them to have both of those influences because each can contribute something. I'm done. My wife has given me the stink eye and it's time for me to quit. But I hope that this was a simple lesson. I hope that it was encouraging, especially to young people this morning. To you young people who are just starting out. Remember that every privilege in life comes with an equal and equally important responsibility. Brother Jeff, Brother Jake, one of you, if you've got a song, I'll quit. I've been long enough and I know that eye when I see it and it's time for me to quit.
Oh, so you can go for another hour.
That would really bring the evil look. That was my lesson this morning, and again, I hope that it's an encouragement, but also a warning and a reminder that even when you get old, you still have responsibilities. They never go away. But oh, what privileges that we have. Go ahead, Brother Jeff.
To page 98.